Hello and welcome to the Chem 8L podcast. I am your host, Caitlin Binder, joined today by the lovely, amazing Kennedy Allen. Kennedy, hello, how are you?
Hello, everyone. I'm Kennedy. Nice to virtually meet you all.
Lovely, lovely. Hey, so when was it? How long ago-ish did you take this lab? Chem 8L, it's the first one.
BC before COVID, around 2017 ish.
All right. And then, what are you doing now? What are you up to?
So now I'm a grad student at UC Davis. I'm in a lab where we study the neural mechanisms modulating stress in California mice. Pretty fun stuff.
Ooh, stress. That's a big one. I talk about stress a lot.
Pretty sure we're all familiar with this one. So it makes it exciting to research and hopefully maybe come out with like therapeutics that can be applicable somewhere.
Oh man, keep me posted. I'm always looking for good stress reducers or just at least understanding it better, I think is right? A good step in the right direction. All right. Well, yeah, thank you for taking time out of your busy grad school schedule to reconnect with the slug roots. Here we go. Today we are reading Remote Experiment 5, The Dehydration of Methyl Cyclohexanols. So I'm going to start you off with the learning objectives and then I'll pass it over to Kennedy. So you're going to observe a microscale distillation apparatus. It's very cute to collect products of a dehydration reaction. You'll use gas chromatography to determine percent composition of products, exemplifying Zaitsev's rule. You'll apply IR spectroscopy to determine reaction success. And finally, interpret chemical tests to determine the presence or absence of an alkene. Take it away, Kennedy.
All right. So as the name suggests, dehydration reactions involve the loss of water. A dehydration reaction is a type of elimination reaction with an alkene product. The regio specificity of the reaction is dependent on Zaitsev's rule, where the major product tends to be the more substituted alkene. When two different products are possible, these products are constitutional isomers of each other, or in this case can be referred to as regio isomers. The type of elimination mechanism can depend on the type of reagent used as well as the substitution pattern of the starting material. In the case of the elimination of alcohols, reactions are performed under acidic conditions and therefore the E1 mechanism is favored. The exception would be for the dehydration of the primary alcohols, which takes place via an E2 mechanism. Furthermore, when isomerizable alkenes are produced, the stereochemistry of the product may be dictated by the type of mechanism taking place. In the chirality.
You said it right. Yeah. And the chirality. You got it.
Chirality, yeah. Of the starting material. In this experiment, students will perform the acid catalyzed dehydration of either one or two methyl cyclohexanol. The elimination reactions have two possible regioisomeric products. The major and minor products can be predicted according to Zaitsev's rule, which states that a more highly substituted alkene is more stable and favored. Students will use gas chromatography to analyze the reaction mixture and compare to the retention times of commercially available standards to confirm their hypotheses. In addition, students will confirm the presence of alkene in their product with the potassium permanganate chemical test. Potassium permanganate is lovingly called the Barney reaction. It starts off dark purple and will turn brown with the formation of a precipitate. Refer to McMurray or Klein text for further discussion of permanganate-mediated oxidative cleavage reaction. Students are assigned an alcohol starting material at the beginning of lab. The pre-lab question should address both reactions to be prepared for either. All right, I'm going to hand it back to Dr. Caitlin.
Hey, thank you, Kennedy. Just Caitlin is fine.
All right.
Here we go with the procedure. We'll start with the reaction setup. So prepare a sand bath to reach a target temperature of 150 degrees on a hot plate at your station. Check the temperature periodically, but do not leave the thermometer in the sand bath. They get broken that way. Recall that hot plates should never be set higher than half of the maximum heating. Medium low to medium is ideal. Those things get super hot. Keep an eye on temperature and adjust accordingly. It may be appropriate to turn off the hot plate for a little while. Do not touch the sand bath or container while it is hot, for obvious reasons. The dehydration reaction will be run neat, meaning no additional solvent is used. The alcohol acts as both the starting material and the solvent. Obtain 750 microliters of the assigned alcohol using the provided plunge and dispense into a pre-weighed 5 mL round bottom flask, then obtain the mass of starting material by difference. 1-methylcyclohexanol is a solid at room temp and maybe in a warm water bath. We warm it up to melt it. Carefully add 225 microliters of concentrated phosphoric acid using the plunge provided. Note that concentrated phosphoric acid is an 85% weight per weight solution in water. That'll be helpful for the pre-lab. Add a boiling chip and clamp a Hickman still to set up the microscale distillation apparatus using a small amount of grease. Use a plastic keck clip. Wow, that's a mouthful. Use a plastic keck clip to connect the flask to the still. Connect water hoses with clamps to a microscale condenser, so cute, so that the water enters on the bottom and exits through the top. Attach the condenser on top of the Hickman still to prevent product from evaporating. Immerse the vial or flask a little more than halfway into the sand bath. It's okay to put the reaction in the sand bath before it reaches target temperature. Here we go to the reaction workup. As the reaction occurs, any alkene products that form will distill and collect into the Hickman still, driving the equilibrium towards products to the right to make even more product. Keep a careful eye on the amount of liquid remaining in the flask. Turn off the heat once approximately half of the volume has been collected in the Hickman still, or when half the volume in the flask is gone. Do not move the apparatus to cool, as the distillate could drop right back into the reaction flask and the product must be stilled again. Wah, wah. Using a pipette, carefully transfer the distillate to a screw cap vial. Add small microspatula fulls of sodium sulfate at a time until the drying agent runs free in suspension, snow globe style. Cap the vial and let the system sit for 5 minutes. Filter through a pipette with a loose cotton plug as instructed by the TA, and collect the filtrate into a pre-weighed dry screw cap vial. Include a sketch of the filter pipette in the notebook as given in lecture. Record the mass. Recalculate the theoretical yield based on the mass of alcohol provided in lab and use this value to calculate a percent yield. Passing it off to Kennedy.
All right, thank you. All right, for your next step for the gas chromatography phase, inject 0.2 microliters of the product only. Compare with the retention times on the provided
chromatograms.
Just pause. On the provided chromatograms to identify the peaks in your product. Do not remove the chromatograms from the wall. Integrate the peaks of the product mixture and calculate percent composition. Refer to the pages in your notebook for performing and analyzing gas chromatographies. You must analyze the chromatograms for retention time and percent composition before leaving the lab. Record your data in your notebook in table format. For the next phase, obtain the IR spectrum of your product. Analyze both of these IRs in table format before leaving the lab. It's highly recommended, but not required, that you make an IR table for an alcohol and alkene before coming to the lab. At minimum, including your notebook, expected stretches in alcohols and alkenes. The literature IR spectra for the alkenes are provided in a separate document online. Literature IR spectra for alcohols are not provided and can be omitted from the table. Water can interfere with the IR spectrum of the product. If you observe an alcohol stretch in the IR, it could be either from the presence of water or starting material. Analysis of gas chromatography will be your definitive answer on that point. So next, for the permanganate test, add 0.5 milliliters of the provided 0.5%
potassium permanganate.
Permanganate solution to 4 separate 10 by 75 millimeter test tubes. Label the test tubes as follows. 1, product. 2, cyclohexane. 3, cyclohexene. 4, alcohol. Add 2 to 3 drops of product to tube 1. Carefully agitate the contents of the tube and record your observations. The formation of a black-brown precipitate is considered to be a positive test. Repeat the test, adding cyclohexane to number 2, cyclohexane to number 3, and the starting alcohol to number 4.
Awesome. Thank you. So I'm going to close out with some handy safety notes just to give you an idea of what we're working with here in this lab. So we have phosphoric acid, which is corrosive. It will burn through your skin. Super not cool. Handle with care. 2-methylcyclohexanol and sodium sulfate are irritants. So not so bad, but you definitely don't want to get it on your skin. Potassium permanganate is a strong oxidizer. That's the one that's super purple. And then we have a couple of flammable, what are they called? Chemicals, flammable chemicals. 1-methylcyclohexanol, cyclohexane, and cyclohexene. For this reason, everything's handled for the most part in the fume hood to minimize chemical exposure. And there's also like the hot glassware stuff. So you want to make sure to wear those hot mitts. But yeah, otherwise, I think that's it. We skip over the deets and the pre-lab questions and stuff for the purpose of these recordings, but please definitely check out the lab PDF for all that good stuff, details on the lab report, worksheets, and stuff like that. Yeah, thanks again to Kennedy for taking time out of your super awesomely researching of stress day to have fun and read some organic chemistry. So yeah, what do you think?
Thank you for having me. I thought this was pretty cool. I realized I definitely need to work on my pronunciation with some things. It's been a while, but this was fun. And I'm excited for everyone to see the project or see the experiment. Have fun. Enjoy.
Yay. Yay. Great. Okay. Well, thank you everyone for listening. I hope that you enjoyed. I hope you enjoy your lab. Feel free to reach out anytime. If you got those questions, your TAs and I are here for you. And then, you know, thanks again to Kennedy. We'll just do a quick bye. Bye-bye,
bye, everyone.
Have a lovely day.